You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, we very recently, just this month of May, we celebrated one of, if not the most important day of the year, a day that I believe all husbands and all men in general would be very, very, very wise to keep circled on their calendar every year so that they do not forget. Who can tell me what day I'm referring to? Mother's Day is close. I was going for fishing opener. It's going for fishing opener on that one. Minnesota had its fishing opener just last weekend, and Wisconsin the weekend before that. Now, if you didn't already know this about me, I love to fish. Some days I might even say that I was born to fish. And now I know that that's not necessarily the case for everyone. I get that. Some of you, maybe you say, you know, I was born to shop, right? You walk into Target and the cashier knows you by name. Some of you maybe say, I was born to sing, right? You came out of the womb with a microphone in your hand. Some of you, you might say, I was born to golf, right? Some of you guys out there, you know your golf scores better than your own kids' names, but you can't help it, right? Because you were born to golf. Now, as much as I love being out on the golf course on a sunny summer day, I was not born to golf. As I mentioned, and as my wife will probably attest, I think I was born to fish. I really do love it, whether it's trout fishing around here or my absolute favorite trout fishing in the mountains of Wyoming or Montana, or if it's bass fishing on one of Minnesota's, you know, famous 10,000 lakes. I cannot get enough of it. I love to fish. Ultimately, that's beside the point today, right? I have no intention of just, you know, like talking to you for the next 30 minutes about how much I love to fish, or by just showing you a bunch more pictures of all the greatest fish I've ever caught in my life, okay? The only reason I bring any of this up to you is because some of the moments, in fact, the moment in many ways, but some of the moments that set the whole Jesus movement into motion, it began. Some of these moments began with a bunch of fishermen, okay? Now, you may or may not like to fish. You may or may not say, I was born to fish. But what I do know is this, that Jesus calls every follower of his to fish. Not for bass, or not for walleye, or not for northern pike, or not for trout, but to fish for something different. And this morning, I want us to discover just what it is. So what we're going to do here to begin is we're going to turn our attention to the New Testament book of Mark, chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading for you in verse 16. It says this, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living." I knew I liked these guys, man. I'm going, how do you get a gig like that? Okay, they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And look at their response. "And they left their nets at once and followed him." Verse 19, "A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. And he called to them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men." Now, we got to understand something about this. Up to this point, Jesus has a total of zero followers. Okay, Christianity at this point has zero converts. And all of that changes in this passage. He invites four men, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to become his first disciples, his first followers. And Jesus is up front with them. He tells them what he wants them to do. He lays his cards out on the table and he says, "Hey, follow me and I'm going to show you how to do something." Do what is the question? Maybe you think he'd say, "Follow me, and I'm going to show you how to be a better person." Maybe you're thinking he said, or maybe they're thinking, you know, he would say, hey, follow me and I'm going to show you how to be a better mom or a better dad or a better husband or a better wife or a better friend. Maybe you think he'd be saying, follow me and I'm going to show you how to be more spiritual and more holy. Maybe you think he's saying, follow me and I'm going to show you how to be more disciplined. No, he doesn't say any of that. He says, come and follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. Okay? We got to understand this, friends. Jesus calls his very first followers to learn how to fish for people. Now, honestly, that's a strange sounding request. Fish for people, right? That's a strange sounding request. And so their response is actually somewhat surprising to me. It was verse 18 that I read that said, at once. These professional fishermen, they left their nets, they left their livelihood, they left their career, they left everything they had ever known, and they followed Jesus to fish for people. Okay, why? Here's the question. Why would they do that? What would make anyone do that? Give it all up, follow Jesus, right? Because it wasn't just the two of them, right? We read verse 20 that said James and John do the same thing. They even leave their dad Zebedee in the boat on his own to mend the nets with the hired men. See your dad going to fish for people, right? Again, I'm asking why. Why trade in what they were so quickly? Why leave behind everything that they knew and everything that they had worked so hard for? Why give it all up? It's an honest question. It's a great question. And it's actually one that, you know, Mark, who we just read from here, it's one that Mark doesn't actually give us any clues about. He just said, Jesus invited and they followed. We don't have a ton of clues about why they would make that decision. But lucky for us, one of the other gospel accounts does give us some clues, right? Besides Mark, there's actually three other gospel writers, and all of them tell the story of Jesus from just a slightly different perspective, a slightly different lens. And in this case, the account written by Luke, of the same story, just told from a different perspective, this account by Luke, it gives us some more information on what might make these guys throw everything away to follow Jesus and to start fishing for people. So we're going to turn to the very next book in the New Testament of our Bible. It's Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says this, same story, different perspective. Here's what Luke writes. He says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed, Jesus did, two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now, I did some reading on this, right? And what Jesus is asking these professional fishermen to do, it made no sense. Horrible advice when it came to fishing on the Sea of Galilee. First of all, the prime fishing hours, which was nighttime on the Sea of Galilee when the fish rose to the surface to feed, the nighttime primetime hours are over. Okay, it's now morning. It's not a great time to fish. And so that's why these guys are on the shore washing their nets and calling it quits for the day. Wrong time of the day to be fishing. Second, when it comes to net fishing in the Sea of Galilee, the best fishing was done in the shallower water of the Sea of Galilee, right? These guys knew that, right? Best fishing was done in the shallow water. And so Jesus, this is what's unique. Right, is what made this advice so strange. Jesus is calling them at seemingly the wrong time of day to push out into the wrong section of the sea to go fishing. See, I wish the Bible recorded Simon's thoughts for us right at this moment. In my mind, he's probably thinking something like, you know, Jesus, appreciate it, man. Like, why don't you stick to the preaching and why don't you let us handle the fishing? Okay? I mean, this feels like me like telling Tiger Woods, you know, like, hey, Tiger, I noticed the golf game slipping. Try keeping the elbow tucked in when you're putting, right? That'd be like me trying to give him some advice. It's crazy, right? And that's the kind of thing that I imagine like Simon thinking here. And in verse 5, Simon does speak up and he says, Master, look at what he says. He says, we've worked hard all of last night. That's the primetime fishing hours. He says, we worked hard all of last night and we didn't catch a thing. But look what he says next. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Wrong time of day, wrong part of the sea. We're not having any luck. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Now, I want you to take out your imaginary yellow highlighter and highlight those words, but if you say so, because a little bit I'm going to come back to those. But for now, look at what happens next, right? Simon says, if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Verse 6, at this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. He says, I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Okay. Now as someone who likes to catch a fish a lot, and as someone who likes to catch a lot of fish, this response seems crazy to me. Like, leave me alone. You think Simon would want to like hang on to Jesus? He's a fish magnet, right? He's the fish whisperer. He's the earliest edition of the bass tracker technology. You'd want to hang on to him. But Simon realizes, I think in this moment, this one in the boat, this Jesus, I think he realized that he's so much more than a fish finder. Simon realizes all of a sudden that he's in the presence of the divine. Right? Here's verse 9. It says, for he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with them. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Okay? Luke, as you can see, Luke has filled in some of the blanks here as to why they would do this. And now that he has, I can understand. I think you can understand why these guys were so ready and why they were so willing to leave everything at a moment's notice to follow Jesus. Jesus had just flexed his divine muscles for them. He just gave them a sneak peek of his majesty. He just showed them, right, that he was so much more than a good teacher and a good guy. And all of a sudden they realized, whoo, this dude is the real deal. And so they left everything and followed him. And now that they have said yes to this invitation, right, Jesus is letting them know, right from the start, Jesus is letting them know that he has more in store for their lives. He's calling them to something greater, to fish for something so much grander than perch and panfish. Jesus says that from now on, he wants them to fish for people. He's inviting them to join him. Jesus is inviting them to join him in spreading the good news that God has come, that the Messiah has arrived, that forgiveness is available, that freedom is possible, that those who are far from God can come near. Fishing for people is ultimately inviting them to follow Jesus and to have their lives changed and transformed and their destinies too changed forever, right? Fishing for people is presenting Jesus to them through our words and our deeds and our actions. This is what Jesus called his followers to do, something important that we need to know about being a follower of Jesus, right? Something we need to know is this, that followers fish. This was his invitation, and we need to understand it's his invitation to us as his followers as well. Followers fish. And now maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'll pass, right? Maybe you're going, I'm not so much of a fisher person. Remember, you're going like, remember, I was not born to fish. That's just you, Sten. You might be going, you know what? I dig Jesus. You know, I believe in him. I'm following him to the best of my ability. But I'm not so sure about like telling other people about him. You're going like, my name is not Billy Graham. I mean, I didn't go to seminary. I'm not very extroverted. I don't know the Bible all that well. You might be thinking to yourself, fishing? That's for someone else. That's for you, Sten, not for me. Fishing for someone else. It's easy, trust me. It's easy for us to think that way. I get it, totally get it. While that might feel like, no thanks, right? I totally get that, but I gotta be honest with you. I gotta be honest with you. I am so, so, so glad that Simon and Andrew and James and John and all the others didn't respond that way. Right? We're here today because they went fishing for people. You might be here today because someone went fishing for you, and now your life has been changed, and you will be in heaven someday because someone put their concerns and their hesitations and their objections and their insecurities away and fished. And so here's a question for you to consider then. Would you do for someone else what someone else did for you? Would you do for someone else what someone else did for you? Those first disciples, friends, we got to get this. They were just common, ordinary, working class, uneducated guys, and they allowed Jesus to make them into something that they were not. Fishermen for people, influencers of others. And as you read the gospel, you'll see they were terrible at fishing at first, but they kept at it. And so we got to ask ourselves, are we going to allow Jesus to teach us to fish? Are we going to allow Jesus to teach us to do the very same thing? I hate to say this, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's actually not really an option for those of us who put our faith in Jesus. It's not really an option, right? Part of following Jesus is fishing for others. He didn't say, you know, his invitation was not, come and follow me and you're all set. Right? He didn't say, you know, come and follow me and just, you know, show up to church every now and again. He didn't say, follow me and I'll make your life all better. No, he said, come follow me and I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. We got to understand, followers fish. It's a part of the package deal. If we consider ourselves followers of Jesus, if we've said yes to his invitation, then part of our responsibility is to learn how and to commit ourselves to fish for people, because followers fish. That's what we do. Now that might sound a little alarming. That might be surprising for you. I know that fishing for people, you know, wasn't necessarily on your radar when you, you know, first opened your life to Jesus. My guess is that for many of you, you were like so many people when you opened your life to Jesus, right? Your life was a mess, maybe. Your sins felt like they were too great, and you felt like the gap was too large, and so you turned to Jesus to forgive you and to fill the emptiness and to close the gap and to reserve your spot in heaven when you die. For how it goes for a lot of us, right? And it's true that we often do come to Jesus initially kind of for reasons like that, reasons that we might say have, you know, purely selfish motives, right? God, I need you, right? But the good news is that Jesus meets us there in our deepest need. He makes us new. He transforms our lives. He adopts us into his family. And truthfully, at that point, the benefits are a mile long. But there are also responsibilities, and Jesus is clear about one of them right from the beginning. Followers fish. Followers have a different mindset, right? Followers say yes when really they'd rather say no. Remember what I asked you to highlight with your imaginary yellow highlighter? It came right out of Luke 5. It's what Simon Peter said to Jesus in the boat. When Jesus gave him this crazy idea, he said, that's not going to work, but if you say so, I will. Right? That's what followers say. If you say so, I'll do it. That's what we should be saying. Jesus, I'm not really sure I'm interested, but if you say so, I will. Right? Jesus, I don't really feel like staying sexually pure before I get married, but if you say so, if you say that's what's best, then I will. Jesus, I don't really feel like giving 10% back to you and to your church and to your work in the world, but if you say so, I will. Jesus, I don't really feel like, you know, like praying and meditating and reading your word every single day, but if you say so, I will. Right? Jesus, I don't really feel like forgiving those who hurt me or for those who did wrong to me, but if you say so, if you say that that's what's best, I will. Jesus, I don't really feel like fishing for people. I know I've got friends and family members and coworkers and neighbors and others who are far from you and who are facing an eternity separated from you, but I feel awkward. I'm afraid of how people might react, so I'm not all that interested. But if you say so, I will. Followers have a different mindset. Followers fish. So let me just finish then by helping all of us to know what fishing for people might look like, right? It sounds simple. We know this idea of trying to, you know, be an example and to kind of help, you know, with our words and our deeds, help other, people, you know, be introduced to Jesus. It sounds simple enough, right? The problem is, and this is why I think it freaks so many of us out, the problem is we've made it a lot harder than it needs to be. We've made fishing for people way too complex. We've made it way too confrontational. Right? We gotta make a mental note here. Jesus didn't say, come follow me and I'll show you how to hunt for people. Okay? There's a huge difference. Okay? Hunting is confrontational. It's aggressive, right? Fishing is more gentle. Fishing is a little more attractional. It's a little more subtle, right? Hunters track down their prey. Fishermen get the fish to come to them. You know, here, little fishy, come here. Gotcha, right? It's a little more subtle. Okay, I'll never forget, my friend Aaron, a good buddy of mine, I'll never forget what he taught me about fishing for fish. I never forget what he taught me years ago when I was just learning how to fly fish. He was teaching me how exactly you tie your fly on the end of your fly line with a proper knot. You know, you wrap around 8 times, then, you know, fish it through the hole in the bottom and back through the loop in the top, and then you, you know, cinch it tightly, right? And right now, man, I could tie that knot in my sleep, eyes closed, one hand tied behind my back. I've been doing it so long now. But when I first learned how to tie this knot, man, my big fat fingers, like I couldn't do it. Right? It felt impossible. It's hard enough when you're standing on the, you know, on the side of the road, but then when you're standing in the middle of a swift moving river with, you know, wind whipping in your face, to do that little deal, it was almost impossible. And so I just settled for the best, you know, next thing. And I just made sure I had a big, strong, you know, tight wad of line, just, you know, cinched up, you know, tight to keep my fly attached to the end of the line. I figured, like, well, I can't do this, but I'll just wrap it all up and pull it tight and make sure that fly's not going anywhere. I'm going, that ought to be fine. Okay, well, after a while, man, I got nothing. My buddies are over here, over there, they're catching fish left and right. I got nothing. I mean, I expressed my frustration to Aaron. I'm going, man, I'm not catching anything. All I'm doing is watching you guys catch fish. I'm staying in the same spot, and I got nothing. He's going. He asked me, okay, how's the knot coming? How's the knot that I was teaching you? And I was like, well, the deal you taught me was a little bit challenging, but I told him, like, well, I'm not worried. I mean, I got a good, strong knot on the end of my line. And when Aaron came to assess the knot, he was not impressed with what I had tied. And he went on to explain to me that the knot was not, the sole purpose of the knot was not just to keep the fly attached. I'm thinking just, yeah, there we go, we're good to go. He said, that's not the purpose of the knot that we're tying. He said, man, it's got a way bigger purpose than that. He said, it has a lot more to do. The knot that you tie has a lot more to do with the presentation of the fly and the presentation with everything. The fly had to sit on top of the water and it had to float on top of the water in a way that makes it look as attractive and as natural and as realistic as possible. That's the goal. Okay, that knot mattered. The presentation of the fly on top of the water to all the fish underneath, it mattered. And so all of a sudden I realized that my knot was I mean, sure, it was tight. That sucker wasn't going anywhere, but it was way too bulky and it was huge and it left this big wake attached to it because the hook was just cinched and it left a big wake and it kind of pulled it so tight that the fly got a little cockeyed, was kind of turned upside down. So really all that, I had a tight knot, that fly wasn't going anywhere, but really all I was doing was dragging through the water this awkwardly twisted fly that was being pulled in the wake of a big giant wad of fishing line. It was the exact opposite of real and natural and attractive. And the fish would not go near it. And wouldn't you know that as soon as Aaron tied the knot, he said, bring the line over here. I reached the deal over. He ties the knot. As soon as he tied the knot, one that was tight and yet slim and attractive and attached properly, the presentation of my fly was far better, far more natural, far more attractive. And the trout responded. Folks, I think the same is true for you and for me, when it comes to fishing for people, presentation matters, okay? And I'm not talking about like entertainment presentations. I'm talking about the way that we present ourselves day in and day out. I'm talking about how attractive our lives are. And now be careful once again, I didn't say how attractive our looks are or how attractive our lifestyles are. That's not what I'm talking about. I said how attractive our lives are. Right? You got to ask yourself as a follower of Jesus, if I'm supposed to fish for other people, I'm supposed to kind of get their attention. You got to ask yourself, how attractive is the life that I'm living? How attractive is my presentation of following Jesus? How attractive is the life that I demonstrate for others as a way to say, yeah, you ought to try this too? How attractive is that life that you're putting out there and then saying to other people, yeah, this is a great deal. You should jump in. You got to continually ask yourselves and evaluate in you how evident is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. How evident is that stuff in me? Right? Folks, we got to understand, we have to tie the right knot. Otherwise, people watching you, and trust me, that are watching, they're going to say, "Well, yeah, I can see you're standing in the river," right? But your fly is upside down and it's water skiing behind a big giant wad of tangled up fishing line. And they'll be going, yeah, I'm not interested. See what you're doing. See that you kind of, you know, look the part, but I'm not buying, right? Presentation matters, friends. So you got to ask yourself, how am I presenting a life that's been changed? How am I presenting a life that's been transformed by Jesus? You got to ask yourself, what do people see in me? And is it attractive? Okay, now there's one last important piece that I need to teach you about fishing. And this is maybe gonna be the most brilliant part of what I have to teach you this morning as an expert fisherman, okay? One last piece, most brilliant part right here. You ready for it? Here it is. If you wanna catch fish, you actually have to go fishing. It's the best I got for you. Okay. If you want to go fish, you actually have to go fishing. Okay, let me do a little poll here. Raise your hand if you've ever caught a fish. Okay, there's some hands going up. That's great. And now of those of you who have caught a fish, how many of you caught that fish or caught any fish when you weren't fishing? Hands go down. Okay, you got to choose to do it. You got to participate. Okay? You got to be intentional. It starts, sure, with making sure that we're living an attractive life of real love and of real joy and of real peace and all that. But it goes beyond that, right? And so what I want to suggest to you this morning, that at the end of the day, fishing for people is simply choosing to invest well into other people. Okay? That's where it starts. Right? It means you actually have to be involved with. You actually got to be rubbing shoulders with people who may not know Jesus. It means you've got to pray for other people that do not know Jesus. It means you got to pray for your neighbors or for your coworkers. It means you got to genuinely care about them, right? People are one to Jesus, right? People are caught by Jesus, by our love and our care and our compassion for them, not by the arguments that we win with them. Okay, so you got to take time. You got to take time to get to know your neighbor or to get to know your coworker who's far from God. You got to walk the 30 steps across the yard to the end of the driveway or the 30 steps across the office to the other cubicle to initiate a conversation with somebody who might be far from God. You got to listen to their stories. You got to find out what their interests are or their needs are or their hurts are or their hopes are. And you got to find common ground with them. You got to find common ground with the people who are in your sphere of influence. See, I love what the Apostle Paul, he wrote so many of the books of the New Testament. I love what the words that he records in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, yeah, I try to find common ground with everyone. Not just my little Sunday morning posse. He says, no, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. He says, I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessing. Friends, fishing for people is making an active choice, an intentional choice to begin investing in people. It's not beating them over the head with the Bible. It's not pointing out where exactly that they did right or wrong. It's loving them and investing in them and getting to know them and then letting the attractiveness of your life do the talking. And for those of us, and this may not be everybody, and I get that, if you're not yet a Jesus follower, I'm glad you're here. You can try this stuff out for yourself, right? But for those of us who really are Jesus followers, right? I know this stuff is might be scary sounding. I know we're going like, oh, I don't know. But it's what followers of Jesus do. We fish. Right? We learn how to do it. We have a mindset that says to Jesus, I'm not really sure if I want to, but if you say so, then I will. Believe it or not, friends, you can. I'm telling you. You can fish for people. I'm telling you, you are a prime candidate. Why? Because you have a story and you have influence, and there has never been nor will there ever be anyone just like you. And there's someone out there who needs someone just like you to fish for them. And so the question is, will you do for them what someone else did for you? Let me pray. God, I am, at least, sometimes just shocked at the fact that you ask us, God, to be a part of what you are doing in this world. God, we're not all that different than these fishermen, just regular, everyday men and women, uneducated, right? Not living in, you know, some kind of special life, real everyday people, God. And yet it's those first followers, and it's us too, that you ask, that you invite to join you in helping people to understand that that God has come, that the Messiah is here, that forgiveness is real, that freedom is possible. God, what an amazing deal that you ask us to be your partners in that kind of work. And God, for those of us here that are Jesus followers, right? For those of us who have said yes, for those of us who have raised our hands, would you help develop in us, God, the confidence and the courage to become fishers of men and fishers of women. God, that we might be scared, we might think, that's awkward and it's uncomfortable, but God, I pray that you would give us confidence. Confidence that ultimately the news we have to share is the greatest news in the history of the planet. And so God, would you help us to know how and where and when we invest well into the lives of the people that you have placed in our path. God, help us, encourage us to fish, because that's exactly what you have asked us to do. And we give you thanks. God, most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who gave us the most amazing gift that we have received. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.